As summer begins to wind down, so does the landscaping, but it doesn't have to be that way. There are late season bloomers to help keep some color in your yard. This is GLT's Grow, your podcast source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, and he's curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Grow.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
It's amazing, after all of the rain this spring, how dry it is right now in parts of the Midwest. What are some plants to consider planting that can give some interest to the landscaping at this late summer point? And should we start with hydrangeas?
Why not? Everybody loves hydrangeas. They're recognizable. The flowers are quite recognizable. Now, the hydrangeas that you and I are talking about, Mike, are a little bit different than the ones that we see as garden fare. They're more fleshy. The hydrangeas that I want everyone to consider are a woodier type of hydrangea. My favorite is the tardiva hydrangeas, along with some of the other panicle hydrangeas. They produce fantastic late season blooms, large bloom. So they show up at greater distances than a lot of other flowers do. And for the tardiva and the straight species panicle hydrangea, these blooms can last for a month or more. So that's something we encounter with the hot season blooming shrubs. Sometimes they only bloom for a week or two. And when it's been brutally hot and sunny and very little wind, you know, it just makes those summer flowers even shorter. So you really starve for flowers when you get this far along.
Are these white or creamy colored blooms?
They are whitish pinky to creamish yellow. So you can kind of weave them into your palette easily, because that's a kind of complementary color. White goes with everything, as they say. And with the flowers lasting for more than a month, there's also great potential for cut flowers from these plants.
What do you think of white flowers? I like them at dusk and in the evening hours. They seem to glow.
I find that appealing as well. I find that white flowers are great because they kind of they reflect the light of the other colors that are there. So in that regard, they can bring colors together. And they're formal also.
And with these hydrangea, is it possible changing the pH level in the soil to change the color of the blooms like you can with other hydrangea?
I think that's for our garden fare hydrangeas, like our garden macrophylla, hydrangea macrophylla, the endless summer, all those that have the kind of the softball-shaped bloom. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that people manipulate to get the violet colors.
And the ones you're talking about have more conical blooms?
It's more conical, kind of like a big ice cream cone shape. Yeah.
So hydrangea has hydra right in its name. How much water is needed to keep these plants happy in the late dry days of summer?
The ones that we're talking about are what I would consider typical fare. They're going to require the same watering that any shrub would require. A little more when they're planted, a little less as the weather starts to help out as you go along. Their counterparts that are the spring bloomers that we love around Mother's Day, they require a lot of water. And a lot of times when we experience the heat and humidity that we've had so far this season, no flowers, just vegetative growth.
So any other hydrangea varieties to consider?
Yes, Mike. There's one that's called the PG hydrangea, and I like to mention this one because it on its own will grow in a tree form. It's confused for a small ornamental tree because it has that habit. It has the traditional shaped flower that we know from the tropical hydrangeas and the macrophylla, so it's kind of that softball shape. But these flowers are a little smaller. And they come in the whites to violets. So this is a hydrangea that can give you the white to violet blooms without having to add the extra step of trying to manipulate the soil pH.
When I think of a dry prairie, I think of sage. What about sage in the garden? Does that work and add some color in the late season?
Sage is good. And also, for a point you already mentioned, it's a drought-tolerant plant that can handle really poor soils. It can handle soils that get very hot. So if it's like a parking island or a curbed planting.
Or if you're mulching with rock.
Yeah, or if you've got a rock base. But the sage is kind of is grassy in appearance, and it smells nice when it's wet. So if it's in an irrigated spot or where it has a little morning dew on it.
Or if you brush up against it.
Or if you get it all over your gear, that's right. And the sage is great for all of the life cycle characters that we share this world with. Yep. Bees, butterflies, birds, they all love it.
I don't know if you mentioned it, but purplish flowers.
Purplish flower, kind of a vertical spiky type thing.
So what about, so sage, salvia, are they related? Salvia is something different?
That's different.
Okay. So when I think of sage, but I also think of lavender, I know they're different plants, but they're often sort of used interchangeably in the garden or in the landscaping?
There's some similarities, definitely some similarities. The sage is a bigger plant than lavender here in the Midwest. It's basically an annual. I know there are lots of listeners that live here in the Midwest that have had lavender reappear in their garden for many seasons, but they are fortunate and of the exception. Most of the times, lavender is not hardy, and it just doesn't survive the winter here. But it has some of those same kind of medicinal and homey benefits as sage. It smells nice. You can steep it and make your house smell nice. You can add it to meat or other vegetable blends and things like that.
Any specific varieties?
I don't have any specific varieties of lavender. I know that Munstead lavender is one that we're fond of because it's supposed to be more tolerant of cold. Now, there's Mona lavender, and it's not a true lavender. It is a leafy plant that has kind of a burgundy-colored leaf and has a very noticeable, long-lasting, fragrant purple flower. And it's born on a spike, so it's up above the rest of the foliage. Mona lavender and lavender that is growing on the hillsides in California, or they're not even related. The Mona lavender, I believe lavender is in the common name because of the color of the bloom.
We talked about hydrangea, which are shrubby. What about some other flowering shrubs for some Midwest late summer color?
One of my favorites, Mike, is bluebeard or bluebeard shrub. Caryopteris clandonensis is the genus and species that we're looking for here. This is a massing type of perennial that has some strength. So it's a little bit on the woody side, close to the ground, like the sage we've already talked about. This is a plant that gives you blue blooms. I'm somebody that loves blue. I wear it almost every day. It's just easy to not think about
it. So a lot of times in gardening, though, blue is actually purple. Are we talking blue or are we talking purple?
I'm talking blue, closer to the blue side of the spectrum, not so much purple like in violet. That's one of the reasons that I think the bluebeard is nice. Also, it's underutilized. It's a very tough, reliable plant. It masses itself kind of like regular lavender or Russian sage. It's controllable. And you could get away with not cutting it back for a number of years if you had it standing in a remote planting bed and not have to worry about it.
What about another plant, another shrub?
Vanilla spice or summer sweet is a regional common name for a fantastic plant. This produces a white kind of thin foxtail type bloom. There are several different cultivars right here at the Fell Arboretum that one could come and see. This is a plant that appears in landscapes a lot of times planted in mass. If you look at the football field, Illinois State's Redbird Arena, near the entrance planting beds, there are large colonies of this plant.
And does it smell like vanilla?
It has a great, pleasant, subtle fragrance, not over-the-top, sticky sweet. And low-maintenance shrub, gorgeous, fragrant flowers that bloom in the summer for up to a month. And they give the hummingbirds something to dine on before they fly away. And it's also been known to deter deer.
If you have any questions about late season bloomers or anything in the garden or landscape, get in touch and we might answer them on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.